right down the road. Brian's not being right.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Supervisors on this day of June 17, 2015. Would you stand with us with the pledge and then a moment of silence? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Seventeen.
Did I say the 15th?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I hope I said 17.
17,
Kelly.
Okay, she's
married 25 years,
whatever you said,
yes.
Good.
Huh?
Good ears.
Excellent. Well, it's good to see everyone here, especially this side over here.
It's good to be seen.
Yeah, but you don't want to fire.
Seen and not fired.
You don't want to fire.
I mean, this is the first time I've seen everybody. Well, who has a yellow truck?
They're like,
you don't.
Oh, that's
you
me.
Don't like much, Moselle.
I look at all the other y'all. I said, who is this? But I don't mind asking a dumb question.
No, it's just
no such thing as a dumb question.
Okay, well, let's get down to business here. we need to adopt this agenda.
Just a reminder: S and T are deferred.
Yes. S and T, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we voting on that?
You can.
Or are we just...
The S is deferred.
Okay.
You don't have a choice because it's not, you can't vote on it tonight because it can't go forward until we get timed with the VRA financing. On T, you could certainly do what you want on that tonight, but it's been withdrawn by the applicant, so.
Okay, all right. Did I have a motion?
Second.
Okay. It was you, Mr. Weaver?
Yes.
All right, the motion was made by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The chair votes aye. All right, we have a Board of Supervisors update.
Back up one, please.
Pardon?
To back
county
up one.
Administrators.
We're trying
I mean,
to
county,
the
county administrator. Jeez, Liz, I don't know what's happening to me today.
I would like to get done early, too, so just keep going. just a few things for you, Madam Chair, members of the board. the summer reading program at the library has started, and like every year, there's a huge crowd that shows up for that. Peter McCord has been there before, and lots of folks love coming to that one. He was popular again this year. I'm not quite sure what a duct tape bag workshop is, but they're having one. So if you need a duct tape bag, go to the library. That's one of the many workshops that are coming up this summer at the library. And I guess you can see some samples of the kids' bags there.
One young lady at the 8th grade danced 4 years ago.
Oh,
made a
dress
out of
yes. That's right. I remember that. I heard about that one. Social Services just received accolades from the state. They received no findings on their latest administrative expenditures review. And you can see a copy of the certificate there for their the locality automated system for expenditures reimbursement. It's called the LASER system. And they've got no findings on their report, which is great. Oh, sorry. Went too far. And Kim Mayo, just this afternoon, received recognition from the 4-H Club Congress for innovative programming support for the Terrific Tuesdays program that was such a success this year. And John Thompson, our extension agent, just sent me a copy of that certificate this afternoon. And so congratulations to her and to the many people who helped with Terrific Tuesdays this year. Kids College at Flavanna's kicked off, and it's a partnership between PVCC, our Parks and Rec, and public schools, and bringing 3D printing and lots of other academies, different types of activities for kids in camps around Flavanna for the 3rd to 8th grade. So far, we've gotten $1,400 in revenue from the early drop-off and the AM camp and the lunches and things. And Master Naturalist Walter Hussey, who works a lot with our Parks and Rec department, he's pictured there, right. He led one of the nature hikes, and Claire Lawande from our Parks and Rec department has spearheaded the new program. A lot of successes in Parks and Rec for our community. The Chambers, remember, Barbecue Bands and Brews is June 27th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're soliciting for staff to work the county booth there that day, and they'll get a free ticket to get in. And the the event is obviously a big event for us and lots of fun. And Nick Smith, who had a recent concert out in Kent Store area, is also going to be playing that night too.
And he will be playing Saturday from 6 to 8 at Chicken Barbecue.
Oh, good.
At Kent Store.
Oh, yeah. He does help back. Right. Right. You bet. Name change. I think I sent this out a while back, but the governor has changed the name of the Comprehensive Services Act for at-risk youth and families. Now it's Children's Services Act, which makes a heck of a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. When you say I'm the CSA coordinator of the Comprehensive Services Act, it doesn't really resonate with most people unless you know the inside story of that. So Children's Services Act and the Office of Children's Services in Richmond is what the new naming conventions are. So we'll be changing that in our documentation too, but I think it's a good change and makes a lot of sense. On the not so good front, you know, closing out the year with CSA, there are a couple different extra residential treatments that have just come up, and so we think we'll be in the $350,000 to $400,000 range cost. Now, we only pay a portion of that. I think we pay like 38% of that. So our portion will be about $175,000 or less, and maybe down as much as low as $125,000 or $130,000. But until we close out the year and get through those bills on the residential services that have just come up, we won't know for sure. It has to be closed out by the end of August, but oftentimes we won't get those bills until after the end of the fiscal year, but we don't close out the fiscal year till August anyway. So watch for that change. And then CIC has done their Flavanna Louisa entrepreneurial workshop. They've been doing that out at the Best Western, but the class on June 10th was participated in by two of our staff members. Jason Stewart did a presentation. Bobby Popowitz served as discussion leader for one of their sessions, and it went really well. The graduation for that Flavanna Louisa class is going to be on July 1st. Unfortunately, it's a board meeting day, but you have a 4 o'clock meeting that day and no evening session planned, right. So you might be able to get there for part of it if you want to.
I told him I was going to try to attend, so it means we just need to move the meeting.
We might have, I don't think there's no public hearings that day, and I don't think there's any huge things that are going on that agenda, right. So you might be able to get out.
Could you adjust the agenda so that maybe...
We'll try to squish as much as we can, but remember you only have one meeting in August, so we've got to get a bunch of stuff done before you take that long break. Yeah. Fork Union Streetscape, other than the unfortunate accident yesterday, there was one of the contractors workers from Walker Construction had a significant foot injury and was sent by Pegasus Flight to UVA, but the follow-up was that he's got a broken ankle and some crushing bone injuries in his foot, but he's been released back out now, so he's got some orthopedic surgery in his future, but obviously could have been much worse. And the company's been really engaged in making sure he and his family get taken care of and are very concerned.
You know what concern I have for that? You know that the section where they have the grass?
Yes.
It's growing rapidly now.
Yes.
Fork Union residents, do they need to be in charge of keeping that grass cut?
I don't know the answer to that. I saw it the other day, too. They put sod in. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a pretty good green crop, especially when they watered it. I'm not sure who maintains that, but I'll check and see.
We need to find, because that's going to look really bad.
Artificial turf would have been better. But
pardon? Yeah.
Artificial.
I wish we hadn't have put, I didn't
green
know
paint
the grass.
Even, yeah.
And it's a lot, it's quite a few space.
It's actually only one mower width, mm-hmm. but about a quarter of a mile.
Right, so we need to.
We'll check and see what the requirements are, but I don't know off the top of my head. Anyway, there are some asphalt problems. Some of the connectors to parking lots and to businesses are there is going to require some more asphalt in between. I think the engineer who did the design, their estimates weren't as close as we would hope they have been, but it means about $8,000 probably for asphalt costs. It's costs that would have been borne by the county no matter what, but they should have been discovered earlier, so we could have had it vetted in the contract at the time. But it's a cost you can't avoid because it's part of the contract, but we should have known about it earlier because the engineer should have estimated it that way. But we'll work with the designer who did the design. And then here's some more recent photos from down there. You can see the pretty significant improvements. On the picture on the top right, you don't see the grass growing in very much there yet, but the bottom right, you can see there's, it's all a long grass patch. So if you had one 22-inch wide mower and just walked about 600 yards, you'd get the whole strip, but I'm not sure who's responsible, so we'll put in check. And selected today, Andy Notman is our new IT director for the county, replacing Jonathan McMahon. Jonathan's going on to a great job with Capital One, but Andy takes over on July 6th, and we'll be working on the backfill for his current position and getting that started right away. So Mr. Notman will be servicing all your IT needs in the future. Andy's been with us for 3 years now and is a retired Air Force member and has done a great job for 3 years with the IT department already and is certainly primed and ready to take over for Jonathan McMahon. And your regular meeting next time is at a 4 o'clock meeting on July 1st, the same night as that CIC graduation. And I don't know of any work sessions coming, so any questions I can answer for the board?
All right, any questions? Mm-hmm. All right, now we will have the board of supervisors. Any updates from the board members?
No.
Anyone?
No. Next meeting, or if you'd prefer the August meeting, I'll have an update on the noise ordinance information. I'm working on that right now. I just want to wrap up a few things. I think it would be good, the August meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have two meetings that day. You have the 4 o'clock meeting and the 7 o'clock meeting on your August one, so there should be plenty of room. The July 15th meeting might be pretty tight because of public hearings.
It'll be tight for me to get it done, but it's a more presentation. Sure. We won't be voting on
it. So we can lock it on for the 4 o'clock meeting on the August 3rd, 4th? I'm not sure what day it is.
Yeah.
First meeting in August. The only meeting in August.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about one of my things. I'd just like to thank the Sheriff's Department and the State Police and Fire and Rescue for their assistance with the event that we had over in Kent Store to help it stay smooth.
Great.
They had a very nice presence out there, and I'd like to really thank them.
Okay.
And I wasn't here last meeting, had an issue, but the Memorial Day services were huge crowds.
Yes.
And really showed something about our community
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for laying our wreath there. All right. If nothing else, then I will open the first public comments. Please, if you'd like to speak to the board, would you please come forward and give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. Anyone?
Hello. Members of the board, my name is Joe Orsolini. I'm the current chief of Lake Monticello Rescue Squad. I come before you tonight to impress on you the importance of approving the radio system that's going to be brought before you tonight. The public safety radio system that's currently being used by first responders in Fluvanna County is woefully inadequate and, to simply put it, dangerous. The lifeline of any first responder is their radio. It's the connection we have with safety when we need it. It's our connection to additional resources and to do our job correctly, and it's the vital communication link that's required for us to do our jobs. Every day, the citizens of this county call upon our first responders to help them with their emergencies. They depend on the 911 communications center to be able to efficiently, effectively, and quickly get the call out to the responders. Oftentimes, this is not possible with the constrictions that we have with the current radio system. The county is full of dead spots. We have failing towers and repeaters, old and antiquated equipment that just continues to repeatedly fail us and the citizens of Fluvanna County time and time again. By not approving and moving forward the replacement of the public safety radio system, which is proposed to solve the vast majority, if not all, of the problems that we are seeing now and in the foreseeable future, we are putting our first responders at risk. How much longer until a patient dies because the basic life support crew cannot call for advanced life support and get them the care that they need? Or even worse, dealing with a violent patient or family, and they cannot call for law enforcement's help? How much longer until a firefighter is seriously injured or killed because they cannot depend on the radio to call for help when they're inside of a structure? How much longer until a law enforcement officer is killed because they're in a confrontation with a violent individual and they cannot depend on their radio to call for their backup? Their lifeline is that radio to call for help. These are not impossible or hypothetical situations, but rather very real possibilities that are not a matter of if it happens, rather when it happens. I'm encouraging the board, the members of this board, to approve tonight the proposal for the new radio system. You've entrusted us with the care and safety of the citizens and visitors of Fluvanna County, including yourselves. Now we're depending on you to help us do the job that you've tasked us with by giving us one of the biggest tools that we need to do our job. Off my written thing, we talk a lot about fire rescue over the last couple months here, and while we may not all of us agree on everything, I think the one thing that you'll find every firefighter, EMT, sheriff's deputy, and everybody in this county is that we need a new radio system. It's not a negotiable item. It's a necessity, and we really need it. And again, Joe Orsolini, my address, I forgot to give it, 1 Longleaf Lane in the lake, and the rescue squad's address is, corporate address is 10 Slice Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak to the board? If not, I will close the first comments. Now we have two public hearings. The first one is the SUP 15-02 JCM, the third, an auction house. Steve Tugwell, our senior planner.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a special use permit request, SUP 1502 from GCM 3 LLC, and they are requesting a special use permit to operate an auction house with respect to 4.81 acres of tax map 59, section A, parcel 8. It was rezoned from B1 to I1 back in 2013, and it's before the board tonight because auction houses are required to have SUP in the I1 zoning district. There's an existing 100 by 200 metal building on the site, and the applicant plans on using this building for his auction house. It would be operated wholly within the building. This is a zoning map. You can see the gray area indicates the I-1 zoning, and B-1 is in the forefront there with frontage on 15. An aerial photograph that shows the 100 by 200 building I was just speaking about, which is where the auction house will be conducted. This is the part of the existing building. The applicant does plan on enclosing that to expand the square footage to facilitate the auction house. This is the one part of the building that isn't currently enclosed. And parking area, currently there is the, I believe it's called the Powhatan Community Church on the B1 side of the parcel that fronts on 15, and they would be sharing parking with the church. Conclusions, special use permit request to operate the auction house as required in the I-1 zoning district. It would take place completely within the building. Hours of operation are proposed to be Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the office, and then the auction house Saturday from 10 a.m. through midnight. With that, the motion is on your screen, and the applicant is present tonight if you had any questions for him. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. The applicant is here. The applicant would like to come forward, and if you all have any questions.
Good evening. My name is John Flick. I'm actually with Steadfast Auctions. We're going to be the operator of the auction house at this location.
Okay. Do you have any questions about the auction house?
What sort of items will you be auctioning?
To start with, we're looking at just estate-type auctions and some commercial auctions. So basically, wholesale-type auctions.
So then you'll be holding auctions every week, or?
The plan is, yes, to get within the next few months to be doing them every Saturday. That's why we're requesting a 10 a.m. to midnight to give us a little flexibility on time. Retail auctions typically do better in the afternoon, so that's why we want to do that.
So it's like furniture and...
Yes, ma'am. To start with, will be small household items, furniture, you know, maybe, you know, riding lawnmowers, mowers, yes. any kind of type things you'd find in a typical estate auction or someone, mm-hmm. if someone's deceased and they're selling a property.
Okay. Any other questions?
Are y'all associated with the church at all?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not.
And you're currently operating auctions, obviously.
Yes, we are. We're doing on-site auctions. Yeah, we have one this coming Saturday, on-site, meaning off-site from there.
Right.
Okay. We're not conducting any live auctions in the building currently. We're waiting for this SUP.
And the church is okay with sharing
yes.
the parking lot and doing
it? Yes, we've discussed it with the church, and we've come to an agreement so we can use our parking.
Okay. Anything else? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now I will open the public hearing. Anyone who would like to speak to the board about this SUP, please come to the mic, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes. Looks like we don't have anyone to speak. I'm closing this public hearing and bring it back to the board. Are you ready to...
I think once again it's fantastic to see another business moving into the county
in the Falk Union area.
In the technically until 2020 when we fix that little mess. The should be Palmyra district area is in dire need of increased businesses. So I think it's a really good idea. And I won't have to drive so far to buy all my stuff.
Yes. Okay. All right. Are we ready for the motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve SUP 1502 special use permit request for an auction house with respect to 4.81 acres of tax map 59, section A, parcel 8, subject to the 7 conditions listed in the staff report.
Second.
All right, it's moved by Mr. O'Brien and second by Mr. Ullenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Chair votes aye. Thank you.
I got to tell you, I had to laugh.
You had to laugh.
The reason I laughed is you talked about the businesses in the Palmyra District.
Yes.
When we start the Dalton Lions Crossroads, that would be the Columbia District.
Yes. All right, now we have a public hearing on ZTA 15-03 flood ordinance. By Jason Stewart, Planning and Zoning Administrator.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll be doing the presentation instead of Jason. Madam Chairman, members of the board, this is ZTA 1503, requested amendment of the Fluvanna County Zoning Ordinance, subsection 22-17-8A, to provide compliance with new federal and state regulations. The proposed amendment will prevent the loss of life and property, the creation of health and safety hazards, the disruption of commerce and governmental services, the extraordinary and unnecessary expenditure of public funds for flood protection and relief, and the impairment of the tax base by regulating uses, activities, and development which alone or in combination with other existing or future uses and activities and development will cause unacceptable increases in flood heights, velocities, and frequencies. By restricting or prohibiting certain uses, activities, and development from locating within districts subject to flooding, by requiring all of those uses, activities, and developments that do occur in flood-prone districts to be protected and or flood-proofed against flooding and flood damage, and by protecting individuals from buying land and structures which are unsuited for intended purposes because of flood hazards. Proposed action was discussed at the January 28, 2015 and the March 25, 2015 Planning Commission meetings. The Planning Commission formally reviewed the request on May 27, 2015 and approved the request 5-0. In conclusion, the proposed amendment to the Fluvanna County Zoning Ordinance would help protect life and property in the county from flooding risks by regulating certain uses, activities, and developments from locating near areas subject to flooding. The amendment would also protect individuals from purchasing land that may be at risk. The public purpose for such amendment is to conform the zoning ordinance to federal and state flood insurance regulations. And this is the very long, yes.
The motion.
Madam Chairman.
Yes,
can
sir.
I make a comment about this?
Yes.
This is a very unusual circumstance because this is, what you're doing with this ordinance is simply bringing it into conformity with some amendments that have happened with federal flood regulations. We'll be happy to address any questions you might have, assuming we can figure out what they are. But the real issue here is that this has already been reviewed in detail by the federal and state officials. And I'd strongly recommend to you that this is simply, it's not quite in the nature of housekeeping, but it's basically in the nature of housekeeping. If you make any substantial revisions to it, we'd have to go back to the federal and state authorities. So I hope that that will, telescope.
I hope we don't change too many things.
I hope you don't change anything. It ought to telescope your review.
And the better news is you don't have to read the whole motion.
Right. So
while you're on that, all the things that have been struck.
Sorry?
There's a lot of sections in this, as I was reading it, that have been struck.
That's right.
Already?
The substance.
Was that your review, or is that?
No, it was. All we did was review it to make sure that it was all consistent and that it was grammatical and things like that. But the substantive changes were all done by the federal and state authorities.
Gotcha.
So, yes, there have been things that have struck out, but typically what happened is they've been moved somewhere else or they've been revised slightly.
Gotcha.
So are the flood plain districts or areas identified?
Yes.
We know where they are.
Yes, they're identified by a series of maps.
Okay.
So it's unusual that there's a separate set of maps, but those maps are provided by the federal authority.
Mm-hmm. And how many of those flood areas, we do have buildings, and I know not Columbia. Do we have
Well, we are talking
places?
About Columbia, among others.
Mostly Columbia.
Well, no, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of the area along the Riavana is in the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the most obvious places in the floodplain district is the old intake for the Fork Union Sanitary District.
Right.
All of that area, all the area along the James, there's a lot of floodplain. A lot of it isn't very, most of it is pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is not extensive because it'll be on the smaller streams. But a lot of I think it's fair to say virtually all of the riparian area on the James and a lot of it on the Riavana is in this district. This is an overlay district. So you don't need to worry much about permitted uses so much as construction.
Yeah, but farmers still farm.
Oh, yeah, you can still farm it. You can still run cattle and things. But you can't do things like, you can't build a house there, or at least you're restricted in what you can build down there, like houses, maybe even barns, things like that.
Okay. All right.
69 and 72 took care of that.
69 and 72 generated this whole program.
Yes. All right, any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
Go ahead, yes.
No, I'm just wondering
who's going to do it. How
about
I move
to
you do need
approve this
as written. You need a public hearing.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. All right, I'm going to open the public hearing. Anyone would like to speak to this ordinance, floodplain? If not, I'll close the public hearing, and we will tackle the motion.
I move to approve ZTA 15-03,
as
an amendment to the Fluvanna County Zoning Ordinance entitled An Ordinance to Amend Chapter 22, Article 17 and 22,
etc.
And the rest,
et cetera,
et cetera, et cetera, as written.
Right. Very well done. Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
So we have a motion by Mr. Ullenbrook, second by,
quickest
I think I heard,
motion
Mr.
Ever made.
Sheridan.
Okay.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone
aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Now we are at our action items. And we have the E911 radio project contract. Joe Rodish, our procurement officer, and Cheryl Elliott, emergency services coordinator.
So, Madam Chair, I'll start out. I'll start out on this. We have a small brief, mostly brief that you've heard on this before. We have pulled up here almost any section of contract information or leasing information or costs that you would need. And we also have Mr. Rodish and Ms. Elliott here, of course, to answer questions from both contractual and contract requirements perspective, as well as our expert consultant from RCC, Wayne Stack, and Ms. Patty Holtschneider from Motorola with a number of her staff members that are here to address this contract. So we can go through a brief, but it's a brief that you've heard before. But if you would prefer, we can just answer questions from the board and go down through and address anything you've got, because you've obviously had a chance to look at the full contract, but we've got some of the detailed information pulled up for anything you would need.
Board members?
I took the last 3 days and read as much as I could. And
just 3 days?
I've been a little busy. Excellent. I just want to say that I want to commend the E911 committee that over the period of at least four or five, six, has been sustained, number one, and number two, did such a thorough job of this, and then staff, negotiating the contract. I appreciate it, and putting together the information that we had was invaluable, and thank you very much. It made this job easy.
We went through two copiers trying to get that put together, but
well, we have to vote on it in order to read what's inside it. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyone else like some comments or questions?
I guess I have some questions on the towers. I assume that they're all going to fall within the compliance of our ordinances as such, 199?
All of the 199s or less, yes. And the only new construction tower that the county is building is the 199 behind the sheriff's office. And none of them are over the 199 requirements. Now, you can exceed that, but that requires a whole different set of approvals and lights and things like that. But we generally build 199s or less for our
county. But you don't anticipate that?
No, none of these are designated to be higher, and the only one that's out of the county that we're going to use in the project is the one that's at Carter's Mountain.
Right.
And I'm not sure the height on that one. Wayne, do you know what the height on that
one is? Well, it's certainly sufficient because
Carter's Mountain one? Yeah, I don't. But again, it's out of our county, so it's under a different set of ordinances. We're just going to tap off a space on the tower.
I noticed in one of the reports it says that the justified height will, and they plan on giving us 100% growth with what we presently have. What does that exactly mean? That we're going to have a 100% growth in the future.
This is Wayne Stack from RCC Consultants. He's our consultant paid by the county through this entire process to vet the contract and help write the RFP.
Good evening. The 100% growth refers to the excess capacity that's in the facility, whether it's a shelter in which we'll put our equipment, or whether it's a tower on which we'll put our equipment. It also refers to additional expansion for ground space at the base of towers. So in the case of 100% growth, we looked at, it was difficult to quantify exactly what the growth would be. And we felt it was safe that over the foreseeable future, doubling the amount of equipment that's necessary now would be appropriate. So that's what we specified in our RFP, and that's what Motorola has responded to.
I noticed that you have on your power panels 30% growth. How does that correlate with 100% growth? In these documents, it says with your power panels, you project with those power panels, and those are the words that it uses, that there would be that you're putting in a growth of 30%.
Right. The power panels, the electrical panels that will go into the shelters, can handle another 30%. However, additional power panels can be placed in those shelters in the future should they be necessary.
So you're not limited to 30%?
The existing panels are limited to 30% additional,
right.
But additional panels can also be
right.
added. You're right.
Now, a lot of this stuff I don't understand, but I'll try to ask some questions. Right now you have, what, an 800 MHz band radio frequency with surrounding counties. It covers can cover all the surrounding counties with the exception of Albemarle County. Why is that?
Albemarle utilizes 800 megahertz as their primary radio system. The rest of the surrounding counties to Fluvanna do not use 800 megahertz. Fluvanna is at VHF, which is in the 150 megahertz band for its public safety. Louisa also uses VHF. There's a smattering of UHF, which is 460 to 470 or so. The difficulty in switching bands means that you need to have equipment that's capable of both. It's easy to use equipment that has the capability to switch frequencies within a band. Certain radios can switch between bands, and we've addressed some of those radios in this project for the individuals who have to interoperate with Albemarle County on the 800 band. So we do anticipate purchasing certain number of radios that can do both the 150 band for this, as well as interoperability for other localities, as well as the 800 band for Albemarle. And the reason Albemarle went 800 is because they needed a lot of frequencies. Their project was in the 2002 time frame. They needed a lot of frequencies that weren't available at VHF or UHF. They were available because the government has made 800 megahertz available to public safety at a later date, so they just weren't as full. And Albemarle went in that direction. Typically, 800 requires a greater number of sites to provide the same coverage that something lower in frequency, for instance, VHF or UHF, would require.
What are the chances of having change orders on this project, and what would be the range in dollars to those change orders? That concerns me about the change orders. You know, we have a price, but down the road, you know, how much can we really, with what we had documented, how much are we exposed to something else?
The primary change order risk associated with this project would be with the soil conditions at tower sites that are going in where we're building a tower. Typically, it's referred to as normal soils because we haven't done geotechnical engineering. We deal with normal soils, and we predicate all of our cost figures on normal soils. If we get there post-contract and it turns out not to be normal soils, if it turns out to be extremely rocky or bedrock is very close to the surface, in some extreme cases, blasting is necessary. For instance, Carter Mountain was mentioned. That is a mountainous area, and the soils there are completely different than what you find in Fluvanna. That would be an example of what kind of change order we would need. The tower foundation construction would have to take that into account, and it could be more expensive. We don't expect that to happen here just because of the geology of Fluvanna County. Mm-hmm. Where these sites are scheduled to go, we don't expect to have soil inconsistencies. And the only site that the county is building for this is at the sheriff's location. All of the other sites are being built, all of the other towers are being built by others, and the county has no risk at that point.
Would you not have some other tests that would give you some indication there with the sheriff's office about that soil, since we've done construction and all around there? Do you have any information on that area?
I suspect not. I don't know definitively the answer to that, sir. I suspect not, only because the tower is offset from the building itself. And I'm sure the county can check on that, but my expectation is they wouldn't have had to do soil borings that far out from where the building is,
Construction depth for the sheriff's office and library too wouldn't be the same as the footers we're going to be putting down for the tower. because the base structure is going to be so much more supportive of that huge tower. So I don't know of anything we have, but we will certainly watch that as closely.
You sort of mentioned, alluded to that
right
at one other time.
Well, that's the other types of risks that you would normally see on a contract is what if you don't have the right number of radios? Well, we've vetted that kind of to death, and we've tried to make sure that the right number of radios all in all the community that uses the radios, whether it's mobile or portable, they've looked at those over and over and over and identified the specific numbers we need for different kinds of units. Those costs are fixed and they're set in the contract. If, for instance, we needed one extra radio, that would be a different cost. But some of those we'll negotiate with Motorola. But the risk that I've mentioned before, and certainly Mr. Stack reemphasized, is that soil composition for the footers. You may have to put a whole load more concrete down if the soil's not right.
You go get in about 3 or 4 feet, and you go hit a lot of shale.
Yeah, but shale's better than getting to bedrock.
So. Yeah, I would think maybe that would be helpful a little bit, wouldn't it? If it's good,
I've spent a few days in the soil around here.
Or 2 by 6 inches.
Yeah. 3 by 8.
3 by 8. Okay.
But largely, this is not a contract to go build a building. It's little small buildings near towers, existing towers or the new tower, and it's equipment. And so it's a more discrete contract on the kinds of things we're paying for. There's a lot that we're buying, but it's things you put inside a building and the small structures that are not going to have any problem being built on cost that are at the base of towers to hold our equipment.
Well, that's one of my concerns. I didn't want to see these unexpected overruns here. There at VFW, do you see any problems there? Going to be 195-foot pole there, single monopole there on the VFW.
Down
in Scottsville.
The only problem I see is if you don't get it built fast, the VFW is going to get madder.
I know they've been waiting in line for several years on that one.
And in fact, sir, RCC has experience with the company who will be building that tower, developing that site, and it's very positive experience. We can provide references from Stafford County when they put in their radio system in 2011. And the NCT, the company that's putting in the VFW tower, actually built an entire site for Stafford. And it was a very positive experience from Stafford, very professional organization. We don't expect anything different here.
And to go along with that, and I didn't understand this in your report, it says 1,000 gallons of liquid propane fuel tank. What's that all about? What would they be running a 1,000-gallon liquid propane tank for around that area?
That is the fuel tank for the generators, the emergency generators that are at each tower site. So if we lose shore power for some reason,
it's a backup then.
It's a backup generator, that's correct. It's set with an automatic transfer switch so that as soon as power is interrupted, the generator crank cycle starts, and between the time that power is interrupted and the generator cranks up to full revolution and starts supplying power, there's an uninterruptible power supply consisting of batteries that provides the power for the site, just in that little interim.
Okay, I didn't understand that one. Also, you say you're going to remove some things there around that area. For example, the Scottsville water tank, you're going to take some equipment off of that. What is that all about?
Currently, one of the radio sites that Fluvanna County utilizes to provide coverage in that section of Fluvanna County is located on the water tank in Scottsville. Okay. That will no longer be a site with the new system. So once the new system is commissioned and all the testing has been done and the system is accepted by the county from Motorola, then decommissioning will occur at the other sites that are currently in use but won't be in use after commissioning of the new system. Scottsville Water Tank is one of those.
Now, what are we talking about when we talk about the cell soft concerning municipal failures? What's that all about? That's the last resort?
Failsoft?
Yes.
Is actually a failure mode. It's a reaction to a failure mode. If there are several degrees of failure, failsoft is several down the list. And basically, for a trunking system, which I think you have information in your briefing for,
yes.
For a trunking system, if for some reason the trunking portion of it fails, it can resort to non-trunking operation, conventional operation. Again, it's strictly a fallback until whatever has failed, the malfunction can be repaired.
Okay.
So the fail-soft is actually a standardized approach. It is an industry term. It's not just a Motorola term or mm-hmm. a Harris term. It is an industry term and is actually codified in the P25 standard.
Yes. Okay. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Whitaker.
That was
anyone
it.
Else?
You want me to get some more?
Are there any restrictions to the use of the towers? Are they strictly restricted for the 911 and the data buildings themselves? No.
The towers, at this point, will be owned by others, all except the sheriff's office tower, which will be owned by the county, built and owned by the county. So the reason the others are building the tower is to have tenants on the tower, of which the county will be one, and therefore get a revenue stream. So we won't be exclusive on the other towers. With respect to the sheriff's tower, that's a decision that would need to be made in the future by the county as to whether or not it wants to let anyone else on there. If a carrier, for instance, T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, wants to go on there, then that's certainly an opportunity for some revenue coming into the county. But from the perspective of security or perspective of interference, any of those things, they would all be vetted first. But if the county wanted to take a very conservative approach, it could say, no, no one else on the tower except the county equipment. So that's a decision that doesn't have to be made now. That can be made down the road. And it can be made any time down the road, too.
And some things may be bus repeaters. You know, maybe there's a tower location that would be better than the 110-foot towers we have at Old Columbia and Cunningham now. There may be a better location for it. I'm not sure that the sheriff's office tower would, but maybe some of the other new towers might be too. So we'll be looking at all the potential locations to make sure that the communications are as strong as possible. The other thing is downstream, while it's not included in this run, downstream you will be able to connect with school systems and modify how they operate so that you can have one seamless system like some counties do now. But this one will also add public works on it. Besides sheriff, fire, and rescue, public works will be on the radio system as well.
Are we addressing the how we're paying for this tonight? Or?
Yes, sir.
While with one motion?
I've got motions pulled up with those options in there, and so I'll explain those numbers, and then you'll have to decide which version you want to do on that, whether cash, leasing, deferral, whatever. I've got all those available. And I'll have the motions laid out that way so you can choose, and then we'll fill in that number. I've got the staff recommended numbers already filled in, but we can adjust those to anything else. Mm-hmm. The sheet that I gave you, the double-sided sheet, are the leasing versions of costs for trunking and conventional. And then the straight contract costs were in your package, and those are just the total dollar values in red on that sheet. That would be a straight cash cost, and there would be a payment schedule for that. But as we talked about before, one of the reasons the lease proposal would be attractive from a staff perspective is that it gives you a very, very low interest rate now on a project that has no penalties for prepayment. So if you choose to go ahead and pay cash 6 months from now or a year from now or 2 years from now, you can do that. But you also may have a better use of the dollars in a cash basis a year from now rather than the interest rate that will be in place in a year from now. And so it doesn't limit your ability to do the exact thing the money was originally intended for, pay cash for the project, but it gives you some breathing room on other projects you may have coming with the Zion Crossroads water system and things like that, so that you may want to use cash for other projects that the county has when the interest rate will be higher a year or 2 years from now, rather than the interest rate that's tied in and locked in for this project now under a lease cost.
My only concern with that is that I have full faith in the five of us. And when you've got $6.5 million sitting in the bank, I don't know that I have faith in the next five.
Okay.
So properly use that money and not decide to use it on something that might go over the budget, you know, take $3 million and take 9 cents off the budget.
Well, your policy, your financial policies,
yeah,
say that you don't do that anyway because you don't use fund balance cash to fund the operating budget.
You can do many things. You have to admit that there's.
How long has that $7 million been sitting?
Seven and a half and 17.
Yeah, it started at seven and a half. It's been 5 or 6 years since you put it around.
We can now walk by. And it's been walked.
And essentially, the board said,
so there's
fence it and sit it aside.
Right.
It's, and you can that do was in a lockbox. In fact, three years ago, I suggested taking some of that money out to.
And everybody said, no, no.
To fund the schools and
we've held it, I think.
And they said no.
Pretty well. Mm-hmm. But it's the same principle as what happened some years back on the landfill. We knew it was going to be about $1 million mm-hmm. for closure. Mm-hmm. But we put that money aside, and it stayed right there. That's before your times.
Right.
But we put it aside, and then it was there when we needed it.
I understand that. I'm talking about having the money's hanging. We're
I know what you're saying. I'm
we're
just
financing the money we have, which I don't have a problem with. I think it's a great idea. As long as we put in a lockbox that money to be used for a specific purpose. And whether it be the Zion's Crossroads, we've got a huge, huge bill coming up that we would be taking out bonds on. So that kind of thing. And not throwing it at something that we don't even know, like a pool or something.
I don't know. Like
huh? So first, we need to decide whether we're going to vote on the trunking of the conventional, and then we tackle the payment plan. So do we have any discussion about? We understand the difference between the two, and which one would be the best for us. Anyone would like to make any comments? Mr. Nichols, you have anything that you'd like to clarify to us?
The trunking version certainly gives you the most flexibility long term. Conventional would get you over the hump. It would get you a good radio system. It would help protect our fire, rescue, and police emergency personnel. But the trunking system, as designed, gives you much greater flexibility long term and makes much stronger use of the frequencies that are available to us, because you can use, you know, call groups essentially. And so if we hope to partner with our neighbors, which is certainly the way forward for many counties because of the cost of things, trunking system is the way to go. And because the costs are relatively close now, I mean, $700,000 is nothing to sneeze at, but because they're relatively close compared to maybe what we had thought before, I think the trunking system is about the only way. Now, we've got technical experts that can speak to that, but I think the E-911 committee is unanimous in that, and certainly our consultant expert.
What would be the financial advantage if we partner with our neighbors?
Well, you would do some type of agreement with whoever wants to partner off our system, and they would likely pay some capital cost buy-in to use our core. A whole variety of arrangements, but that's how it's normally been done with different counties. Is it's either participatory on the project to begin with, but it's the core that you're sharing, and then using microwave transmissions to get the signal to their county. But the core is you know, $1.5 million or $2 million a piece of the project by itself.
So how many surrounding counties would be in a position to partner with us?
Well, the regional meetings that we've had really have looked at all different kinds of options with 6 different localities: Green, Madison, Albemarle, Orange, Louisa, and Flavanna. That's who the discussions have been with. Well, and the city of Charlottesville, because Charlottesville, Albemarle is kind of combined for the radio system and UVA. But the kind of discussion was, well, UVA, Albemarle, Charlottesville system could be the host for their area in Green and Louisa, or Green and Madison. And we could potentially be the host because we're kind of on the lead on this. Where other counties are working on projects but haven't funded anything yet and haven't contracted for it, we could be the host for Louisa and Orange. Or it could be a different pattern. Maybe Orange and Madison and Green, because they're farther north, would be, but Louisa and us would be on the same system. The good thing is that you've got redundancy on both sides of the corridor, on the 29 corridor, because you'd have redundancy of systems where you could still communicate and talk. So there's an endless kind of range of possibilities. And we've never even discussed with Powhatan or Cumberland or Buckingham.
I'd say Buckingham and Cumberland could come join on as well.
Certainly could. I'm not sure what their frequencies or what their systems are, but the benefit of the trunking system is that it gives you much, much greater use of the existing frequencies you have because of the talk groups. And frequencies are limited, but it gives you expansion and collaboration capability in a way that you wouldn't have with a conventional system. And if you did conventional and wanted to upgrade later, yes, you could do that, but it would be much higher cost than what it would be buying upfront package with a trunking.
Okay.
I believe you mentioned that retrofitting, if we went with the conventional system to trunking, would be actually more expensive than just buying.
Yes, we actually discussed that in the partnership and the meetings with Motorola and with our consultant. Trying to go from a conventional system to a future trunk system certainly can be done, but the core costs wouldn't be what they are today. You wouldn't be buying the core with an entire system where you get the benefit of, you know, decreased costs and efficiencies because you're buying a big contract. And so it's certainly not going to be cheaper than the costs would be for us today. You might be able to get someone else to maybe buy that in the future, but I can't predict what the agreements are going to be with other counties, you know, 2 and 3 and 5 years from now. But again, the relative cost difference between the two projects now are so much closer than I had expected that trunking certainly gives the greatest flexibility to our county for future growth and for partnership.
Do you have the motion for that?
Yeah, so we've got two motions here that I actually filled in numbers. Now, these numbers are based on that financing sheet, the trunking version, and one side is trunking, and there are two sections. There's option one section and option two section. Option one is a one-year deferral for first payment. Option two is a two-year deferral for first payment. There's both versions of 5, 7, and 9 years on both option one set and option two set. The staff recommended version is the one that's in green down towards the bottom on trunking, the 7-year, 2-year deferral trunking option at 2.65%.
Right.
So this motion that's up there has all those specifications in it based on that green section in option two. But there's a whole range of options whether you go conventional or trunking. But we wouldn't recommend going 9 years just because of the length of service of equipment. 5 years just makes the cost a little bit higher that we have to build into the budget because we're going to have to build those costs in the budget. And normally you can use that cash then to offset some other costs to decrease budget right. costs is what we'd hope. But it's also at a very low interest rate right now. So wow. these
now,
are based
the
on...
Lease, is the leasing in here or is that...
Oh, it's right. That's it.
That's it.
In that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That full motion, all this has that in there, and it's based on the green 7-year mm-hmm. under option two. Now, again, if you want to change to a different one, I've got, you know, my finance department here and others that can address issues, but we can select those, and we would just change the dollars
that,
up there.
That makes perfect sense. I think this is the most important
this
motion
one should.
We've
yes.
ever made.
All right.
I move to approve the communication system agreement between the County of Louvana, Virginia, and Motorola Solutions Incorporated in the amount of $6,594,544.94,
mm-hmm.
subject to any necessary modifications as deemed appropriate by the County Administrator or the County Attorney, and specifically modified to indicate that the County is purchasing a trunking system and that the county will be entering into a lease purchase agreement for the equipment as part of the financing full contract price of the communication system agreement at an interest rate of 2.65% payable annually over 7 years, with the first 2 years of payments deferred, with payments due beginning July 15, 2017, in the amount of $1,073,335. And the final payment of $1,073,335 due payable on July 15, 2023. I'll be dead by then.
One note, before you go on to the rest of it, one note where it says that the county administrator or the county attorney can change, it sounds like you can change whatever you want. You can't change the price. This
right.
would be on contract specifications, on the legal language, on the terms of the lease agreement. It will match these terms. The things that are in red in there will not change without coming back to the board. There's still a lot of little pieces left on the contract to make sure the language is exact based on what you're approving tonight.
Furthermore, the Board of Supervisors authorizes the county administrator to execute the agreement, including an equipment lease to purchase agreement contingent upon the agreement and the equipment lease to purchase agreement being approved by him, incorporating the requisite modifications noted above, and further, after being reviewed and approved as to the form by the county attorney.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Ullenbrook, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Madam Chair, can I note two things for the record? First of all, this does create an ongoing obligation. We have reviewed it specifically for compliance with the constitutional limitations of the debt clause of the Constitution, and the wording of the contract is such that it does not violate the debt clause in our opinion. Second thing is that you do have a debt management policy. It's section 1-10.3.1, which ordinarily prohibits long-term borrowing and capital leases for projects that cannot be financed from current financial resources. I think it would be appropriate for you to recognize for the record that you've determined that it's in the county's interest to enter into this lease finance arrangement under these unique circumstances.
Mm-hmm. You want a motion?
Okay.
Yes, I think there should be a motion on that.
All right.
Can I say a motion?
You want to incorporate what I just said?
Now I'll make a motion as Mr. Payne just stated.
Okay.
We'll get into this.
All right. A second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Ullenbrook, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone
aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Now, Madam Chair, I do want to state that this has been a really long project,
long before
I got here.
Yes.
But I'd like to thank our fire and rescue and Sheriff's Office personnel, especially the folks that worked on the committee, Mr. Rodish and Ms. Wilkins from staff who have been working on this since they've been on board. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wayne Stack, who we could not have done this out. He's an expert in his field, and we really appreciate his hard work and dedication. And Patty Holtschneider, one of the vice presidents from Motorola, Steve Garner, the salesperson, and the rest of the Motorola staff have been really a delight to work with on a complicated, expensive, but really important project. So mm-hmm. I'd like to thank all of them on behalf of the county.
And thank you.
While we're patting backs, mm-hmm. I don't want you all to think that I did all this reading.
Assistant attorney.
This was my assistant county attorney, Christina
Hoffman.
I forgot to add, assistant attorney Christina Hoffman has been essential in all this and has added a lot of extra work to our plate, but for good legal reason. Mm-hmm. So she's
I've
done a great
checked
job
to see who did all the reading. Fred told me earlier.
I want to take a minute and thank all the volunteers while so many of you are here tonight.
Yeah.
Often job goes unappreciated and you're not seen all at one time very often except for sad occasions. Thanks for supporting this and being here tonight on your own time to show your support. And I've said many times you're the most important people in the county. So thank you very much.
Now, when will this be up and ready?
18 months.
18 months.
But the work begins tomorrow, so.
Oh, great. Good.
That's tomorrow government time.
All right. Okay. Anything else on this?
Meeting adjourned.
All right. Now, we have S&Ts deferred, so we are with boards, commissioners, committees.
No, we got attendance
policy.
Yes, ma'am. So for a couple of years, we've really talked about this, and we tried to put together a policy that was reasonable, enforceable, and had some leeway so that the chairs of various boards and commissions.
Thank you.
We're safe again. They're back on duty.
Oh, yes.
Dude, man, I was in 555 this afternoon.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
This pertains to appointed boards and commissions.
It pertains to essentially the county's boards, committees, and commissions that you appoint people to, even if it happens to be some other board or commission that you're appointing a county representative to, subject to state and federal code if there's overriding code on attendance requirements and things. But
I think the 75% partnership is very lean.
Well, it's actually 67% of what we put in the policy, two-thirds of the meetings.
Two-thirds. Yeah, and that's...
Some boards and commissions already have an attendance policy that if you miss three consecutive without calling in, so yeah, will
mostly
that
the structured boards like Java boards,
yeah,
and things like that.
Will that override?
Their policies, well, your representative ought to meet your standards,
right,
unless there's a higher standard by law.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or if there's a higher standard by that board.
Right.
Well, if you're going to appoint somebody to that board, you have to follow their rules. But your standard is your on the front end, unless something else trumps it, overrules it.
Yeah. I think this is good. The thing is, you know, people are going to have to implement it.
Yeah, it's going to rely on the chairs of various committees. And mm-hmm. There's only been two or three times in the last few years where this has been a concern.
Right.
And mostly, it's been on committees where you really hope the people that are appointing to them show up because you need their ideas,
yes,
their input.
And
if you're getting somebody that's not shown up for three or four or five meetings in a row, then we really need to find somebody else.
Yeah, you really do.
It may be because they've got other things in their life or whatever. But at least it gives you a soft way to, mm-hmm, when someone signs up.
We have something documented.
That's a judgment call.
And that's what we really need.
It is. It will come to you generally in closed session. Mm-hmm. Sure. Oftentimes the chairman will just talk to the member. Actually, you've got one tonight that a member's resigned at a request from the chair of that board, mm-hmm, just because there was not available to be there. This would just put a formal policy that makes it simpler.
You know, we've had things in the past where someone has a heart attack or something.
You've certainly got leeway in there to forgive that.
That's the difference.
If they're dead, then we'll replace them.
So we do have a motion here. If we don't have anything
else. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the Board Commissioner Committee Attendance Policy.
Second.
All right. It's been moved by Mr. O'Brien. Second by Mr. Weaver.
Show.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Next, we have an appointment, a reappointment to the library board, and it's one person out of the two. Are we appointing one out of the three? There's three applicants and one position. Right.
I'd like to. I move to appoint Bradley Parker.
Barker.
Sorry, Barker. To the Library Board of Trustees with the term to begin July 1, 2015 and terminate June 30th, 2018.
I'd like to hear from anybody on any of the candidates before we make that motion.
Okay. Anybody, I mean, I know the two underneath.
It's my district.
Yeah, just
asking.
Yeah. And Alyssa has been on the board
I know she approached me about wanting to go back.
Yeah, well, she sent us something.
Who's this you're talking about now?
Lisa Gooch and Mrs. Fax. She's real active in historical society. And I think we may have had a recommendation from our librarian as well.
Well, I think you have good candidates.
Yeah.
I don't think the library... The librarian normally makes recommendations on trustees because the trustees
are
her
boss. Maybe the friends of the library. I thought I saw something.
Yeah. Well, I made a motion.
We have a motion on the floor. And any more discussion?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's tough when you have applicants that you feel are qualified, too.
And it's good to have three people. Usually we don't have that many.
We can't get that many to run for our seats. For
so
good reason.
Well, since you made a motion for Mr. Barker, you want to tell us why?
Yeah, just going through the applications and looking at other people on other boards. I think it's just showing in the community participation where you don't have the same person on two and three boards. It starts spreading out the people that want to be involved and getting some new blood involved in it, and that's what we look for. That's why we have the leadership. We support the leadership development class, and it's just moving people in that have taken those steps. Just my feeling on being involved.
Any other discussion? Okay, do we have a second? We don't have a second, so the motion dies. Do we have another? Have anybody else?
Well, I'd like to move to appoint Alyssa Gooch to the Library Board of Trustees with the term to begin July 1, 2015, to terminate June 30, 2018. One of the main reasons I nominate her is she's been a school teacher for 30 years. She's been involved with working with children, and I think she does a great job with it.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Alyssa Gooch.
That was a process.
The record should show that all five were in favor.
Yes, all five. Mm-hmm.
She was a trustee, too, on the board before, and involved in the Historical Society. We had some good candidates for that.
It's nice to have that many good candidates.
Right. I think we should always have a discussion when we have good candidates.
Yeah. All right. The next one, we have the appointment or reappointment for Jobber Advisory Council, I think. We have one, Ms. Key.
Ms. Key is just requesting reappointment to the
council.
I move to appoint or reappoint Ms. Key to the Jefferson Area Board of Aging Advisory Council with a term to begin July 1, 2015 and to terminate June 30, 2017 because that is one of the best people I've ever had the pleasure to know in my life.
Second.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. Sheridan and second by Mr. Weave. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Appointment or reappointment to the Fluvanna Partnership for Aging.
Now
that's a...
Yeah, this is for the Columbia District.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we want one applicant. The Columbia District representative had resigned. We have one applicant, Mr. Putnam, who happens to be a current staff member, but is retiring at the end of July.
Okay.
You want a motion on that?
I move to appoint Curtis Putnam to the Fluvanna Partnership for Aging Committee, Columbia District, with a term to begin July 1, 2015, and to terminate June 30, 2018.
Okay. I second it.
All right. It's a motion by Mr. Sheridan and second by Mr. Ullenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Mr. Putnam.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome. Working. And the next one is reappointment to the Piedmont Workforce Investment Board.
Yeah, Mr. Klockner, Mr. Tadner, I'm sorry, from Klockner Metals. Is no longer with that organization, and we had, Mr. Schaff had been on the list before for potential representative. While he doesn't live in the county, that's not required. He has business in the county.
Okay.
So he's our only current applicant for the Piedmont Workforce Investment Board. There were two or three others we talked to around the county, but just could not dedicate the time to be able to do that now. And Mr. Schaff has certainly been good business person here and interested in participating.
Okay.
I move to appoint Victor Schaff. Well, it's your, do you want to do that, Mike? It's up to you. I move to appoint Victor Schaff to the Piedmont Workforce Investment Board with a term to begin July 1st, 2015 and terminating June 30th, 2017.
Okay. All right. We have a motion by Mr. O'Brien and second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. appointment to Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. You didn't tell me we have three people, and I saw that.
I want to try to make this as confusing as possible, but I'm going to try to confuse you. On this one,
yes,
it's an appointment to replace someone who's resigned from the mm-hmm. board, and it lists Carter, Hussey, and Stevens.
Right.
Okay. But the next one, it's an appointment / reappointment. There's someone in that seat wishes to be reappointed, but it lists Carter, Hussey, Putnam, and Stevens. So
yeah,
all those names, I'm sorry, including Wade Parrish, the one who's in the seat, those five names should be considered for both, but you're filling two seats.
Okay.
One of which is an incumbent who requests reappointment, Mr. Mm-hmm. Parrish, but you would have one more seat on top of that if you reappointed him. So
okay,
we can go back and do the motions, but I just wanted you to understand there are five names.
All right. So we need to pick one of the three.
Let's start with the appointment and reappointment.
All right, reappointment, Mrs. Parrish.
I move to reappoint Wade Parrish to Parks and Recreation Advisory Board with a term to begin July 1, 2015 and to terminate June 30, 2017.
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Sheridan and second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
And while I rarely ever advocate for names, one of the names you've heard a lot recently on Parks and Rec issues is one of our master naturalists. Now, some of these other folks are fantastic citizens in our county too, but Mr. Hussey's been really involved in Parks and Rec's activities, and you've seen his picture over and over and over. He would be a great candidate,
yeah,
but you may think the other ones are perfectly great candidates too. I don't know them as well.
Okay. So we have already appointed.
So this would be an appointment.
Curtis. We put Mr. Putnam into.
I'm afraid to make a motion.
Go ahead. Who do you say? Go ahead.
I just think there should be discussion.
Yeah. Well, if you have any
discussion,
that's
okay.
Any discussion? I looked at all of their resumes and.
So these three names plus Mr. Right. Putnam.
Yeah.
I move. Let's see if I can get us.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Any discussion? No discussion. Ready for the motion.
I move to appoint Walter Hussey to Parks and Recreation Advisory Board at large position with the current term to begin immediately and terminate June 30th, 2016.
Second.
All right. It's moved by Mr. Otterbrook, second by Mr. O'Brien.
It was nothing against your candidate.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Okay. Yeah. Now we are finished. With
are
that
we done with
section.
Appointments?
Yes. Because it's kind of everybody's up in the end of June. We do not have any presentations. Our consent agenda. We have accounts payable report for May 2015. We have resolution recognizing Adam Nicholas Warren as an Eagle Scout. We have fiscal year 15 supplemental appropriation request for school security equipment program, state grant funds, and we have fiscal year 15 supplemental appropriation request for spring break enrichment camp grant funds, capital reserve maintenance fund request, drainage piping system, community center building, fiscal year 15 Department of Social Services share of the cost allocation funds, fiscal 15 Board of Supervisors contingency budget transfer, fiscal year 15 Stormwater BMP data update grant. Would anyone like to pull any of those to discuss or get additional information?
No, the only one that I want to mention on it, I do it all the time, is the resolution recognizing Adam Warren as Eagle Scout. That's like huge.
Yeah, I go through and all of
yeah,
those.
Yes, I know.
So I will be at that one too.
And you know, just
yes, it is.
If there's hope for society these days, I mean, every time you see that,
wonderful,
it's good stuff.
Young people, and our resolution is so nice. I just love to read it because it talks about how important it is for our youth and how they contribute. You know, they're making a contribution now, and they're not adults. And I'm in my elderhood. And you know, it's just it's just great.
We need to train them well to take care of us when we're old.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all because of his middle school PE teacher.
That's it. You are.
Great, another JV.
You're a good, yes, Mike, you are. You wouldn't have gotten
I'm teasing, Mr.
You wouldn't know, you wouldn't
no,
have gotten
I am
recognition
absolutely teasing.
At the graduation
just claim
if
Mr.
you Rothman. Were faking it.
Let's keep it brief, please.
Okay. Anyone like to pull anything?
Well, let's look at accounts payable.
Mr. Weaver?
As usual.
Accounts payable.
Yeah.
We have Mr. Dahl standing, and that is, which number is that? What's that?
C. Accounts payable.
Yeah, the first one, C. We're pulling C. Do you want to pull anything else, anyone?
Where's the kitchen bed?
The kitchen is being pulled back.
That was the one.
Yeah, okay. That was pulled down.
That was along with the other one.
Oh, which one to bring it back?
Yeah.
No. On page 6, number 207, Virginia Wholesale Tires, vehicle. Tires, $1,444. That's a lot of tires, isn't it?
Not for the amount of vehicles we have.
I don't remember seeing anything that big at one time. Maybe so.
Maybe sheriff's office sure. Vehicles.
Yes, last year we actually spent a little over $11,000 on tires.
So that $1,444 might be.
That's not for four. It's probably for
eight, ten,
or ten, six, depending on the
size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wondered that. Sort of stuck out.
If you'd like a detailed printout, we're tracking everything even down to the case of the oil we use so we can project for the next year. So we've got for accountability in these areas. But tires are a big expense. They went up considerably with newer vehicles having a 17-inch tire.
Right.
It costs talk about going from $40 for a 15-inch tire
to 17.
There were no FOSS rims on there or anything like that.
Except on the other I saw spinners on this black car. SUV right down here, though.
There's the undercover yeah. Car.
There's drop-off fees, you know, done. Yes. They got to pay for the old ones, but if they held onto them in the back, they could drop them off for free. It wasn't growing.
That was $93,000. That's another $60,000.
No, the sheriff of Louisa County already takes care of dropping enough tires off here.
Yeah.
He does.
Okay. Anything else?
On page 7.
Page 7.
Image designers. I'm sort of.
What line, sir?
Shirts on that one.
What line?
Page 257, number 257. Okay. Page 7. That was $583. What was that? That's under litter.
That's the t-shirts, I think.
Those t-shirts for staff
of the
Earth Day event.
Was that some of the donation we get from the state?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought that was in a sort of an odd place to be. Okay, let's see what else I have here. I guess, let's see, page.
Take your time.
Probably a typo on 294. Page 8, where we have Wagner's Motor Glass Blower, then it says description WERVICE.
It's a different kind of service.
Service.
Yes, I'm assuming that's what they meant to type, sir.
That's what I thought. And you actually answered one of the questions earlier. Here, I was going to ask about the CSA, and you said that we were down,
175,000. A high estimate, we think, is 175. It may be as low as 125 or 130, but we're not going to end even because there are these residential cases that popped up now too. And it, you know, as you close out the end of the fiscal year, we're pretty tight on CSA. So there's going
to
be some money required.
May be able to encumber.
It's about $400,000 probably, or $350,000. But the county share would be
what third?
About 150 or 175.
Well, we sure underestimated that budget for this year, didn't we?
We never hit it on the head.
Well, no, but I'm just saying we, you know. If we had to pay it, we had to pay it.
It indeed. And next year, we tightened that CSA budget pretty tight.
That always worries me.
It's based on the historical trend, but you never know. This, we could end it just fine if we didn't have these residential drop-ins right at the end, right at the end of June. If they'd been July 1st, you wouldn't be paying for it. And if the bills come in after fiscal year closeout, they'll be assigned to next fiscal year.
But then we'll still be in the same problem next year.
Indeed.
Well, unless you get...
We can always over...
Somebody drops
we out. Can always over-budget for it, but that means cents on the tax rate because you have to pay for it out of tax dollars.
We address this every year, and if we...
I know we address it every year.
And how much is a contingency on something like that, you know?
Well, you never know.
I know, but...
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Never know. We're talking pennies on the tax bill.
Well, pennies are a lot on the tax bill.
That's what I mean. When we start talking about it, yeah.
Okay, you ready for a motion?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the consent agenda along with the accounts payable and payroll to be ratified for May 2015 in the amount of $2,715,794.48.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
Second.
Second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Nope. He's on the down low over there today.
All right. Cool. Now we have unfinished business.
This is his first one in the month.
Any unfinished business? Any new business?
I'm about 67%.
One new business item, if I may?
One new business.
Because of the hire of Mr. Notman today, remember, you've got an IT director and you have an IT technician position. Because of the hire of Mr. Notman, we will now go back and be hiring the IT technician. But I'm going to be modifying that PD to put different kinds of specifications in it so we have the same skill set in our organization. That will come before you for a change in that position description. Mm-hmm. The dollars between the two hires will essentially be very close to what they are right now. But it's a different classification of skills, and that just needs to come back before you for classification. So we're going to put it out for hire, but it'll come on your agenda.
Well, Jonathan be gone before our next meeting?
No, we will be honoring him at the July 1st meeting.
Okay.
See, I didn't want to forget you. I was going to give you a standing ovation.
I don't
ovation.
Know what I'm going to do without Jonathan.
He's
I'm
just glad to... you did your damn job. That's all. Right? That's what he's going to say.
There are so many ways think responses for that. Okay, you all like Mr. Nama because he's retired Air Force too, like your husband was.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Good. Now we will have our second public comments.
He'll hear it at Capital One.
Anyone would like to speak to the board, please come to the mic and say and give us your name and address, and you have 5 minutes.
If you got something
anyone?
Good to say.
I will close the second.
No one has anything.
We do not have closed session, or do we?
We do.
We have a list. We have about 4 things.
I knew you wanted to, but
it'll be fine. Get out early.
Go ahead.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.3, Section 2.2-3711A.6, Section 2.2-3711A.7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and legal matters.
All right.
Second.
All right. Yeah. It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. We are going in to close session. You know, awesome.
Yeah, he's younger than Mel. You got that big one coming up.
All right, we're ready.
Of the Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved. The Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motions by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting, a second and a recorded vote needed.
Second.
All right.
Mr.
Weaver?
Didn't you
Mr. Allenbrook?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
And O'Brien.
Aye.
And Chair, aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? May I have an adjournment motion?
So may.
A second. It has been moved by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mr. Sherman that we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Good night, gentlemen.